The mining industry has been a key to the development of civilization, underpinning the Iron and Bronze Ages, the Industrial Revolution, and the infrastructure of today's information age. At the beginning of the 21st century, the international mining industry was producing over 6 billion tons of raw product, valued at several trillion dollars. Downstream processing of these raw materials adds further value as they and their products are converted to produce automobiles, weapons, and construction materials for uses worldwide. The last decades of the 20th century saw the creation and consolidation of large transnational mining corporations, whose extraction activities reached from the Caribbean to Latin America to the Pacific Islands and Southeast Asia. An extremely important aspect of the development of this industry has been the growth of Canadian transnationals and the worldwide support they have historically received from the Canadian government. Such support includes cheap land, tariffs on competitive imports, and a military to terrorize the lands of Indigenous people. Here we highlight two particular struggles of Indigenous communities fighting Canadian mining transnationals. Gloria Pereira Papenberg of Montreal's Social Justice Committee talks to us about the fight of the people of San Marcos against a gold mine in rural Guatemala. Sonia Gagne speaks of the fight of the Ganyangahage people against a niobium mine on Indigenous territory near Montreal, Canada. We will also hear an interview with Salima Valiani, who has done extensive research about the role of the Canadian government in the worldwide mining industry. We are joined on the line by Gloria Pereira from the Social Justice Committee. Good morning, Gloria.
Good morning.
Could you just give us a bit of background about how Glamis Gold, the Canadian transnational mining company, came to prospect for gold in the San Marcos community?
Actually, Canadian international mining companies were practically invited by the government of Guatemala around 1996, 1997. So many companies went there to explore, and Glamis was one of them. They decided, Glamis decided, and they were interested in this, in the possibilities of mining gold in the area of San Marcos in Guatemala. San Marcos is an mainly indigenous rural area.
What stage of development is the mine at right now?
They're in what is called the exploration area, previous to exploitation. In the sense, they're not getting the gold out of the earth yet, but of course they're doing a lot of excavation. I've seen photos of the huge holes that are already being made. So the environment has been impacted severely already as it is.
Mm-hmm. Could you outline for us what some of the effects are, both on the land and as well of the people, of this type of open pit gold mining?
One other thing is that they need to extract tons of rock to get grams of gold. So you can imagine for an operation where an international company is interested in, it will be moving, really creating new mountains. I mean, to take enough rocks from some place to create a mountain somewhere else. Now, the operation itself needs a lot of water. The company itself is talking about hundreds of liters of water per hour or something like that. I mean, it's a huge amount of water in an area that depends on water, because agriculture is essential for the people living there. So there would be a huge competition for the water.
And what kind of involvement have the people of the community, the indigenous people of the community, have had in the planning of the mine? You mentioned that the Guatemalan government were the ones to invite Glamis Gold to prospect for gold. What has been what kind of involvement have the indigenous people had in the development of this mine?
None, really, because despite the fact that they're supposed to be involved, and I'm saying that because Guatemala signed an international agreement, a convention of the International Labor Organization, that says that the indigenous people have the right to be part of the decision-making process, starting from the development of the plans for any type of economic development in the area where they live or otherwise use. Well, this right has not been respected for the indigenous people in Guatemala at all. Guatemala signed that in 1996. The following year, Guatemala have a new mining law where it says nothing about consulting the indigenous people before granting any mining permit. So from the very beginning, that right has been totally forgotten.
You mentioned that there was no consultation and there isn't a general agreement with the mine being in the community. What kind of resistance are we seeing there in that community regarding this mine?
Well, the resistance is not only local, but it's national. Indigenous people all over Guatemala have been pronouncing themselves against mining. In January, there was a very strong public demonstration against a convoy of trucks that were bringing Canadian equipment. That was in a different province of Guatemala. People there thought that there was going mining somewhere in their own province, and they were furious, thinking that this is another case of mining starting without us knowing. So they stopped the convoy, and the government decided, well, this is something legal. We cannot allow the communities to do this, and they sent police and the army. Of course, the confrontation ensued and ended up with one person dead, one of the protesters dead, and several people were wounded. So there's been protests all over the place. Most of the protests have been pacific, peaceful, but like I said, this one ended up in tragedy.